This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Larry21.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
Welcome to the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast, where we dive into the latest rumors and news surrounding Texas Rangers baseball.
Welcome to the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast. I'm your host, Larry Lace. On today's episode, we dive into the latest headlines from around Globe Life Field. But first, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Game Time. Before we dive into our first topic, we'd like to remind you that you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, as well as TikTok, Instagram, all your social media platforms. Just search Talkin' Texas Rangers. And without further ado, let's dive into today's first topic. We're going to analyze the potential advantage of acquiring Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger is having a great season and is likely to be shopped by the Cubs at the trade deadline. So let's talk about it. As the trade deadline approaches, the Rangers have been evaluating their roster and are considering various trade opportunities to bolster their lineup for the postseason push. One player who has garnered significant attention from many teams is Cody Bellinger of the Chicago Cubs. Bellinger currently plays for the Chicago Cubs and had a solid season thus far. He's had 233 plate appearances, 62 hits, including 13 doubles, 1 triple, and 8 home runs, resulting in 28 RBIs. Bellinger has also showcased his speed on the base path, stealing 10 bases. His batting average is .298 with an on-base percentage of .352, slugging percentage of .486, resulting in an OPS of .838. Additionally, his adjusted OPS is an impressive 126, while his weighted runs created plus sits at 121. Digging deeper into Bellinger's performance, his advanced batting statistics provide further insights. His batting average on balls in play is .373. Indicating a high success rate when putting the ball in play. Bellinger's weighted on-base average is .331, suggesting he generates many scoring opportunities. His isolated power of .188 highlights his ability to hit for both power and extra bases. While Bellinger's walk percentage is relatively low at 3.4%, he makes up for it with his contact skills, with a strikeout percentage of 18%. Bellinger demonstrates an ability to make consistent contact, evident in his 77% overall contact rate. This contact ability contributes to offensive production and the team's run scoring potential. The Texas Rangers need to, The Texas Rangers need to weigh the several advantages of acquiring Bellinger before the deadline. Firstly, Bellinger offers versatility on defense. He's played primarily at first base and outfield throughout his career, making him a valuable asset for teams looking to address positional needs or provide coverage for potential injuries. Secondly, Bellinger possesses a power bat, evident from his .486 slugging percentage and 8 home runs a season. His ability to drive the ball with authority adds a significant offensive threat to any lineup. Furthermore, Bellinger's on-base skills must be considered. With a .352 on-base percentage, he consistently finds ways to get on base. His ability to draw walks creates scoring opportunities for teammates and enhances the overall depth of the lineup. Additionally, Bellinger brings postseason experience to the table. He has excelled in high-pressure situations after winning the World Series with the Dodgers in 2020. Acquiring a player with such knowledge and a proven track record can be invaluable during a playoff run. The Rangers should be all in on Cody Bellinger. Considering Cody Bellinger's impressive performance this season and his well-rounded skill set, Acquiring him before the trade deadline could be a significant move for the Rangers. Texas scores a large amount of runs, but are still seeking to improve lineup depth. With his defensive versatility, power bat, contact skills, on-base ability, and postseason experience, Bellinger can potentially boost the Rangers' chances of success. So let us know in the comments section below. What do you think? Should the Rangers go after Bellinger? Let us know. If not, is there somebody you think we should go after with a trade or in free agency? Let us know. And now on to our next topic. There's a top prospect that faces a crossroads in his career. The Rangers must figure out what to do to help a former first-round pick. The All-Star starters for the Rangers will be taking the field on Tuesday night as the Rangers mark the 2-year anniversary of drafting Jack Leiter at number 2. It was a much valued selection that was greeted with cheers from the fan base and pundits alike. Leiter will be marking the occasion at the same place he has been since making his debut in April 2022. He is still in Frisco and is not any closer to the majors than he was on that day. If anything, he feels much farther away. Leiter, in his start last week, lasted just one-third of an inning as he gave up 6 runs off 5 hits and 2 walks. That start was the shortest of Leiter's career. The Rangers have to be asking themselves what they need to do to fix Leiter and get him back on the right track. I have an out-of-the-box solution that could help or could be disastrous. The Rangers should promote him to Round Rock, and I'll give you 3 reasons why. Familiarity with Leiter breeds contempt and base hits. Leiter has now been with Frisco for a season and a half. He's made 38 starts in that time. He has played every team in the Texas League and made multiple starts against every team except for Springfield. He has played 5 of the 9 other teams at least 4 times, and in the case of Amarillo, San Antonio, and Arkansas, he has pitched more than 5 times against those teams. I understand players come in and out, but there's a familiarity that comes with that much exposure to these teams. I just do not know if continuing to pitch against these teams is the best idea for his development. I know some fans are calling him for him to be moved down to High A Hickory. The Rangers chose to do that. He would likely have success against young hitters. He would put up starts of 6 to 7 innings with a high number of strikeouts, but the success would be artificial. It would be hard to tell if he's having success because of his development or if he was having success based solely on the lack of discipline from less experienced ballplayers. The Rangers should go ahead and move him up to Round Rock. It has a chance to be a disaster, but it cannot be any worse than what he's already experienced. Leiter would be exposed to hitters that have not seen him and do not have a thorough scouting report on it. He'd be able to see what works against hitters that are more major league quality. If it does not work, then he's a bust, and they can try moving him to the bullpen, much like they have done with Cole Wynn. Next up, Jack Leiter needs to move on from Frisco. The next reason is that they should have already promoted him to Round Rock. Right now with Leiter, it appears that he will end another season in Frisco. In 2024, the Rangers will likely have no choice but to start his 3rd season at that level, surrounded by pitchers that are significantly younger than he is. I'm sure to start next season, pitchers such as Jose Corniel and Mitch Pratt will all be either starting at Frisco or be quickly promoted to Frisco early in the 2024 season. Each of those players will be 23 or younger. Brett will just be 20 years old, while Leiter will have turned 24 by that time. Leiter needs to be moved up to a more age-appropriate level. Henry Davis, drafted just ahead of Leiter in 2021, is already in the majors. Colton Cowser, who was drafted at 5 by the Orioles, just made his debut last week. Matt McClain has been superb for the Reds in the infield. The Millers, both Bryce and Mason, have pitched well for the Mariners and A's this year. Leiter was looked at as more major league ready than any of them. He had a father that had a long career in the majors. He was from Vanderbilt, the school that has turned out several great pitchers over the years. It just is shocking that it has not worked for Leiter. The stuff is there, and when it clicks, it is magical. The 10 strikeout performance back on May 17th was one of the best pitching performances from any player in the Rangers organization, both minors and majors. He showed that night how great he can be when he puts it all together. He has not got back to that level since that night. He has not struck out more than 7 in his 7 starts since then. He has allowed at least one run in each start, and has given up multiple runs in the last five starts. That includes the six-run start on last Friday and the eight-run start on June 30th. Now might not be the right time for promotion, and I'm willing to admit that. They do need to get him out of Frisco by the end of the season. He is just beating his head against the wall there. The window to promote him was probably May, and they missed it. He was pitching great that month, and he could have rode them in that momentum to Round Rock in June. But they chose not to hold off on a promotion. Now he's pitching really poorly, and they have only difficult choices to make. Excuse me. Next up, AAA experience this season will better prepare Liger for the majors. The final reason is because AAA is closer to a major league experience than AA. Liger might excel in a more professional setting. He might be able to up his game against hitters with a more major league approach. He might take to the robotic umps at AAA. Right now, Round Rock is playing very well. They have several players all over the diamond that have made cases to be in Arlington, but are blocked. The challenge for Liger would be enormous because he has not pitched well in AA, save for May of this season and sporadic starts in 2022. Rangers will potentially have two open rotation spots in 2024. They have several in-house contenders for those spots, and Liger is among that group. If he is going to be given a shot in camp, he likely will need AAA experience this season to better prepare him for that competition. He can end the season with Round Rock and then likely come back next year and be an option, much like Cody Bradford has been this season. The Rangers were aggressive, sending Liger immediately to AA. Moving him to Round Rock would be very aggressive. In a similar way, it would certainly challenge him. My plan that will help Jack Liger succeed or fail miserably. Here's what my plan would be for Liger. I'd ride out July in Frisco. He is still in the organization post-trade deadline. Then I would quickly promote him to AAA. There will still be two more months left in the season, and he'd be able to make at least eight starts for Round Rock. Would signify belief in Liger and his abilities and also challenge him as well. Chris Young would be sending two messages to Liger. He'd be saying, "We believe in you enough to not be willing to trade you. We also want to see what you can do at this higher level." Liger can show what he has against more developed hitters and if he has a future as a major league starting pitcher. AAA is when the real prospects separate themselves from the fake prospects. Cody Bradford went to AAA this season and quickly showed that he is for real. He's blazed past AAA into a regular role with the major league team. Cole Wynn has become stuck in AAA, and after more than a season of poor results, starting has now been moved to the bullpen. That could be Jack Liger's future, but we will not know for sure until we see if his stuff can play at a AAA, or if he's just a future closer or bullpen arm. And now we're going to take a look at some big MLB draft news. We can all agree that the Texas Rangers got the steal in the draft. The player who is projected to go as high as one falls to the Rangers at pick number four. The Texas Rangers came into the MLB draft this season with the fourth pick as a result of the inaugural MLB draft lottery. Mock drafts have been coming out since early spring, and it was all over the board who the Rangers would pick. Experts had the Rangers taking Max Clark, Walker Jenkins, or Kyle Deal. The top two of the draft went as expected, except Paul Skenes went one, and Dylan Cruz went two. It was expected that Langford would go pick three to Detroit, leaving the Rangers to pick from high school outfielders Clark or Jenkins. That is when Detroit went off script and selected Clark at three. The Rangers were then on the clock and did not waste any time deciding to go with another SEC player. Painful to say, they drafted outfielder Langford from the University of Florida. I graduated from South Florida, so I'm sure they could have picked somebody from South Florida. We got good players. But I digress. Langford is many things and now can add first-round draft pick to his name. Langford is the fourth consecutive SEC player Texas has taken in the first round. 2020 was infielder Justin Foscue. 2021 was Jack Leiter. 2022 was Vanderbilt pitcher Kumar Rocker. And now 2023 is Florida outfielder Langford. When top prospect lists are put together in the coming months, Langford will join Evan Carter at the top of those lists for the Texas Rangers. Langford is a bat-first outfielder who has hit more than 20 home runs in his sophomore and junior seasons at Florida. He increased his batting average from 356 to 373 this past season. He increased his doubles from 9 to 28, his on-base percentage jumped 50 points to 498, struck out 44 times in each of his two seasons playing at Florida, but he increased his walks from 36 to 56 this past season. There is not an offensive category that he really did not excel in. Florida made it all the way to the championship series in Omaha and College World Series to play LSU. It was a matchup of potential top picks. Langford really stood out in Omaha. He had three home runs, including the longest home run hit at Charles Schwab Stadium. One was a 456 moonshot. His time in Omaha included a five-hit, six RBI night in Game 2 of the championship series. Unfortunately, Florida came up short, but it was not because of the play of Langford. So the question is, when will Langford reach the majors? Langford should advance pretty quickly. There will for sure be some adjustment going from an aluminum to a wooden bat. The quality of pitching he faces will certainly be better than what he faced in the SEC. The tools are there for him to move quickly. The power should translate, the ability to draw walks will translate, and the ability to get extra bases will translate. It will be about how does he deal with the variety and quality of pitches he will see. How quickly is he to make adjustments to how pitchers attack him? What position does he play? If Langford signs quickly, it is possible we will see him in an affiliate by late August. I do not think the Rangers will be hesitant to move him along pretty quickly. If he is able to remain healthy and produce at a high level, I'm going to say he makes the Rangers' debut by 2025, no later than 2026. Langford's journey will be interesting to follow over the next several years. The Rangers will now not pick again until the fourth round. They lost their second and third round picks when they signed Jacob DeGrom and Nathan Eovaldi, which sadly, I think kind of bit them in the butt when DeGrom went down. And now let us know your thoughts on the Rangers picking Langford. Do you think this was a good idea? How do you think Langford will do in the majors? Or for now, how do you think he'll do in the minors? Let us know. As always, give us a thumbs up if you like our video. And hit that bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And give us a subscribe. And now on to our final topic. There is a former Rangers pitcher that has been linked as a possible trade candidate. The Rangers are in need of bullpen help for sure, but could use reinforcements in the rotation as well. With the MLB trade rumor season in full swing, the Texas Rangers are being linked to former team member Lance Lynn. Yeah, you heard that right. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, has reported, and the idea was further explored by MLB trade rumors, that the Rangers have strong interest in the 36-year-old righty. Ranger fans have fond memories of Hurler, as he had a fantastic 2019 campaign for the club. That season, he started 33 games, pitched 208 innings, went 16-11, struck out 246 against 59 walks, had a 367 ERA, 121 whip, finished fifth in the AL Cy Young voting. Many of us Ranger fans were in attendance when Lynn went 7 1/3 strong inning against the Yankees to pick up the win and close out Globe Life Park on September 29th of that year. In the COVID-shortened season, Lynn was just as impressive. In 13 starts, he pitched 84 innings, went 6-3, struck out 89 against 25 walks, a 3.32 ERA, and a 1.06 whip to finish 6th in AL Cy Young race. After the 2020 season, it was clear that the Rangers were in full rebuild mode. Lynn was traded to the White Sox that offseason for Dane Dunning and Avery Weems. Dunning has obviously worked out great. He's a big part of the staff at this point. Weems has struggled and is currently rehabbing from Tommy John surgery that he had earlier this year. Despite the addition of Aroldis Chapman, the Rangers are in desperate need of additional quality arms in the bullpen. They could also use some depth in the rotation as well. Jake Odorizzi was supposed to give the club some of that depth, but he will not throw a pitch for the organization this season due to injury. Obviously, the loss of Jacob DeGrom is a big blow to the rotation as well. Dunning has filled in admirably. Both Andrew Haney and Mark Perez have been struggling lately. Haney is already at 86 innings pitched, which is the most that he has recorded since 2021, when he had only had 129. The good news about trading for Lynn is that he could more than likely be acquired on the cheap, as he is in the middle of his worst professional season. The bad news is that he is in the middle of his worst professional season. In 18 starts and 103 innings pitched, he has struck out 127 against 37 walks and surrendered MLB-leading 22 home runs. He has a disastrous 6.03 ERA and 141 whip. He just hasn't been good, although his last start was a glimpse at his former dominant self. Against the Blue Jays offense, Lynn went 7 innings, surrendered no runs on 1 hit and 1 walk, striking out 11. That is the Lance Lynn of old, and the one that the Rangers will be hoping for if they do make a deal with the White Sox. His home run percentage has gone from a 12-year career average of 2.5% to 4.8% this season. Also, early on in his career, Lynn had control problems and issued a large number of walks. But after going to the Yankees at the trade deadline in 2018, that hasn't been an issue at all. Until it resurfaced this season. From 2019 through 2022, Lynn's walk percent was 6.5, but this season has been elevated at 8.1%. Ironically, he has seen an uptick in his strikeout percentage as well. For his career, Lynn sits at 24.1% strikeout percentage, but this season, it is up to 27.9%. Lynn would be a rental of sorts, but his contract does come with a club option for 2024. If he were to pitch well over the remainder of the season, the Rangers would be able to pick up the $18 million for 2024, or if he doesn't, simply buy him out for $1 million. He is due approximately $8.3 million for the remainder of 2023. If the Rangers send Chicago better prospects, the White Sox would more than likely pick up part of his salary. This gives each team plenty of room to negotiate a trade that would be suitable for both parties. The golden rule of pitching is don't give up free passes and keep the ball in the yard. Lynn has had a hard time doing both of those things this season. Because of that, he shouldn't cost the Rangers a ton in the form of players or prospects. The upside is that he is about as gutsy and tough as they come and has already had success in Texas. Perhaps a reunion with his former club is just what the doctor ordered for a resurgence of form for the hard-nosed veteran starter. Let us know your thoughts. Should we re-sign Lance Lynn? Or trade for him, I should say. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can go ahead and buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TTRangers. Your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, be able to pay them, create even more content, and hopefully take this show on the road. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We will see you next time.
This has been the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast. Let us know your thoughts on the topics we covered by tweeting us at TalkinTXRangers or liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/TalkinTexasRangers. As always, thank you for listening and go Rangers!